This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you're listening to the WWE Podcast.
One that everybody wants, me.
Becky Lynch is going to WrestleMania.
Claymore!
Oh! Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
This is my iron.
You're going to acknowledge me.
What's going on, everybody, guys and girls? Welcome back to another edition of the SmackDown Review right here on the WWE Podcast. As always, I am one of the hosts of the show, Michael Ritter. You can find me on Twitter, Michael5Ritter, and also one of the hosts of the Football Function Podcast. You should definitely go check us out over there if you are into football, especially given that the playoffs are pretty much, you know, we're in the thick of it. We're really in the nitty-gritty, in the juicy portion of the postseason. But getting back to wrestling, that's why we're here, right? To talk about SmackDown. And who better to join me talking about SmackDown than my co-host of the SmackDown Review, young John Carrasco. John, how you doing? You can find John, actually, on Twitter, at Big Speaker. That's BIGG_speaker. John, how the hell are you, bud?
I am doing pretty good, man. And, of course, I mean, I'm here. We're about to break down this freaking show that we got for everybody here. So, yeah, we're about to do this stuff. But I can't really say that this was a SmackDown that really excited me. I mean, of course, we had some good stuff going on.
Felt like a Raw, no offense.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I wasn't going to take it down there, but, I mean, of course. I had my little negative thoughts about it.
Hey, it's the Raw 30th anniversary. They're trying to give a shout-out. They're trying to pay tribute to it. So, why not, you know, give our own impression of Raw here? But sorry to keep interrupting. Go ahead.
No, not at all, man, because I was going to say, that freaking video package they had for that thing, nice. So we'll get to that
here in a little bit. Was your foot tapping as the song was playing?
Well, honestly, like, just chills. Just let loose. Just chills, man. Because, like, you just the everything that they're bringing back. There you go, the nostalgia there, that it was. I mean, yeah, man, I just felt it through my body. And I was just thinking of next week already. My bad. I mean, of course, you got a question. But, yeah, I mean,
I'm eager here to talk about it with you, man, obviously. I keep jumping the gun, but continue.
But, yeah, I mean, of course, we got big plans for next weekend, man. And, of course, I mean, it's starting to, like, really trickle in, you know, that what the countdown for our days is there. You know, I mean, they got numbers, we got days. So, I mean, that's what I'm kind of looking forward to. So, I mean, it just started to hit me whenever I seen all that. I mean, of course, brought back all the memories, nostalgia, like you were saying. And yeah, man, I'm just excited for next weekend. Yeah.
So this is obviously the SmackDown review. We're SmackDown through and through. But what is your favorite Raw memory?
Raw, man.
Just from where you are, I guess, in your rewatch, given that you started, what you said, the year 2000?
Going into 2001.
Yep. Okay, all right. So you've seen a good era. Seen a good chunk.
I mean, I've seen
probably at least 50 plus episodes, right? I mean, if you've watched a year.
I'd say at least a good, like, maybe 40. Okay. I guess you could say. I mean, I guess you could say that's about
right.
So
are you into 2002 yet?
No. Okay. I'm barely starting 2001.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's barely we're almost lined up with what we're watching right now, you know, week-wise.
Okay. So from what you've seen
in
the rewatch, it's a little tongue twister there, of Monday Night Raw, what has been a moment that stood out to you, I guess I should say?
Well, a moment that stood out to me is just the feud that's been with Vince McMahon and Stone Cold. And then also Mick Foley being fired from being GM. So, I mean, it's kind of it's coming back to me in spots, I guess you could say. You know, I mean, I remember some of this stuff whenever I was a kid. So, I mean, of course, like I said, some of this stuff has just been bypassed, you know, just memories. But it's all starting to, like, trickle into, like, how the storylines, like, played out, what was going on with, like, the big moments that I actually, like, remembered seeing and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's kind of awesome to be able to have that in just, like, in your back pocket, I guess you could say, with Peacock. You know, I mean, no sponsorship right there, but I'm just saying. But I don't know, man. It's just awesome to be able to go back and rewatch that, and then for it to be all, like, coming back to this, you know, coming on Monday, you know, the Raw 30 and everything like that. We're going to see I'll see a lot of familiar faces. Of course, you will and everything, but it's just going to be awesome, man.
I'm excited for sure as well, you know, to check out the things that we have in store and all the returning legends and, you know, all those badass matches that they're going to have at Raw 30. But my favorite Raw moment, or at least one of my favorite Raw moments, because I'm a Ruthless Aggression era guy. Like, it's no secret. I will, you know, wave that flag and die on the hill that I think the Ruthless Aggression era might be the best wrestling era of all time for many reasons. And I know Attitude Era fans are coming at me right now wanting to, you know, give me the two middle fingers to the face and hit me with a stunner. And it is what it is. But, and that's not necessarily a knock at the Attitude Era. I understand how great it was. And to be completely honest with you, I didn't watch it religiously like I did the Ruthless Aggression Era. I was a WCW guy before that in the 90s. So that's no secret as well. So there is a little bit of bias here, and I'll admit that. But I do believe that there is a case to be made about the way that the Ruthless Aggression Era was set up. Number one, stabilization. Is that a word?
I'd say stability.
Stability, okay. Mm-hmm. For some reason, you might want to look that up. Stabilization, that has to be a word.
Stabilization.
Stabilization.
How would you spell that?
Stabilitation. That's how I would spell it, honestly. But anyways.
You remind me of the freaking Uncle Elroy on...
Next Friday?
Yeah, gotcha. He's like, Faux Sachi.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Faux
Sachi.
But I feel like the structure, you know, the base was so set. The rules. You saw the other day, we watched a YouTube video whenever the first ever draft lottery, where several people went over from SmackDown to Raw and they were all in their respective locker rooms wearing their respective shirts. It felt so authentic then because the brand split was actually taken serious and the rules were followed. So that era, I just feel like, and obviously, you know, a lot of people allude to the star power in the 90s, right? The people that were there. Well, name one star in the 90s that was there for the Attitude Era that wasn't in the Ruthless Aggression Era. I know Stone Cold Steve Austin left in 2003, but 2002 and 2003 were two massive years in the Ruthless Aggression Era. Stone Cold Steve Austin was there in some capacity, not as a full-time wrestler, but I remember Stone Cold Steve Austin from the Ruthless Aggression Era. So I know for a fact he was there, obviously, you know, riding the four-wheeler and having several different moments with Eric Bischoff as like that new rivalry that he kind of – you mentioned the Vince McMahon that you're watching right now. He has another one kind of with Eric Bischoff that has their own moments. You're going to love that when you get there. But obviously The Rock was there too as the Hollywood Rock. Undertaker was there as the American Badass and, you know, eventually came back as the Dead Man representing on SmackDown. But they had their brand. We had ours, obviously. And I'll tell you, and another argument I have is the Ruthless Aggression Era had all of those stars as well as their own crop of stars. Brock Lesnar, Randy Orton, a young John Cena. Eddie Guerrero reaching his peak. You know, a lot of people don't want to mention his name, but Chris Benoit was another wrestler, you know, that what you that when you're talking Ruthless Aggression, just pure talent, you can't tell the story of the Ruthless Aggression Era without mentioning his name. The WrestleMania 20, Madison Square Garden, the culmination of that, him, you know, being number one in the Rumble. I mean, it's a story that you really, I mean, you can't erase from my brain. That's for sure. Like, it was literally the peak in my wrestling fandom. It's unfortunate that I almost have to feel bad talking about it. I have to feel bad embracing that because, you know, obviously what happened is just don't even want to discuss it, but there's other superstars as well that, you know, I mean, even JBL became one of the best heels. Triple H was a way bigger superstar in the Ruthless Aggression Era than he was in the 90s. HBK came back and had his run. We had a version of the NWO. There's several reasons why I feel like the Ruthless Aggression Era was badass, but specifically on Raw, get kind of back on track. Ruthless Aggression Era, Raw moments that were my favorite, Kane taking off his mask for the first time, which was an Eric Bischoff decision. I know Triple H had something to do with that, but RVD was his tag team partner. Kane was a babyface during this match. He lost, and he had to take off his mask, and it was revealed for the first time. This was a Monday night, keep in mind. So it ends at 10 o'clock here in Texas Central Standard Time. That's whenever Monday Night Raw always went off the air because it used to start at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, and it would be 2 hours, and it would end at 10. And I remember having the you-know-what scared out of me as a third, fourth grade kid whenever that happened, like seeing Kane's face and just the burn marks and his, you know, hair and him chokeslamming RVD to hell and then just looking at the camera. And then the following weeks and months, he came out with, you know, that towel over his head and basically having to have chains over his arms and shackles. And it was just a beautiful story being told from a character transformation. And Kane went on to have years of success without the mask. But that's one that you tell me, you know, Monday Night Raw, that I think about, like, holy, you know what? Like, dang, that one had me off out of my seat, was Kane taking off his mask.
That's actually pretty crazy, man, because I can see that. I mean, it's like
they actually showed it in the video package. It was a brief little.
Yeah, but just like the way you just like described it, you know, I can just see that. I mean, you painted a good little picture there. But I don't know, man. I can't really say that I can like have a exact moment, you know, that I can think of. Like just saying like Raw wise, you know, it's hard to kind of just remember stuff like that. But the thing that always does come to my mind is whenever the Undertaker threw Mankind through the steel cage onto the thumbtacks. I mean, I can't say if that was like on a pay-per-view, you know, but gosh, yo, that's one of the things that stuck with me. And I don't know, that's just one of the things that whenever I think of wrestling, that's straight pops to my mind, you know? So that's my point of view on it, I guess you could say.
Yeah. I wanted to give Raw a little bit of, you know, a shout out here, because clearly the Raw 30 will be happening and we'll talk next week, but next SmackDown is going to be a little bit different just because obviously you mentioned it. We're going to be going to the Royal Rumble a week from tomorrow. So it will probably be speed through this SmackDown review just to kind of get some good night's sleep. We're not going to cut any corners or anything like that. We're going to break it down, but just so you know, it might be a little bit rapid fire because we, with our schedule, the way we're doing it, our plan here, it's going to be a journey. We are, you know, we're going to have an early morning, wake up, hit that drive from where we live, which is in West Texas, I guess you could say, technically North Texas. If you're looking at it geographically on the map and you see Texas where we are, we're at the very top in like the square part of Texas, I guess you could say. But Amarillo, Texas, look it up. It's a pretty big city. It's actually, you know, if you watch Breaking Bad, there was a plane that was going from Albuquerque to Amarillo in one of the episodes that ended up colliding with another plane. We're not going to spoil anything, but that's just, you know, if you ever, you know, Amarillo, ever heard of it? But anyways, we're driving to San Antonio to the Alamo Dome for the Royal Rumble, and it's going to be how long is the drive? You've made it way more times than I have.
It's about 8 hours.
I've only been to San Antonio one time.
Like on the map, you know, 7 hours and 40 minutes. But I mean,
so less than 8 hours.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, of course, you know, stops and stuff like that.
Is it by Abilene? Is it near Abilene or no?
No.
Damn it. Anyways, I'm looking forward to that. The drive is gonna be pretty fun. We have to switch off, you know, take some shifts. I got my Nintendo Switch that I will bring. We'll both be able to, you know, take some turns on that bad boy, and you know, maybe play some NBA 2K or something like that. But yeah, we're driving. I'm leaving like 6. Or so in the morning, and we'll try to get there, you know, in a good amount of time so we can, I guess, maybe hit up that superstore. It's going to be Alamo Dome parking lot. But yeah, I've only been to San Antonio one time, and it was for the Royal Rumble in 2017. Randy Orton won, and I've already talked about this several times, but I'm excited to go back. Better seats than I had then, and, you know, it's the freaking Royal Rumble, for God's sake, who is not excited for this? But we've chit-chatted enough. It's time to get into SmackDown, right? People are like, guys, let's start talking about SmackDown. But we just wanted to, you know, have a little bit of warm-up chatter with you guys, because we enjoy getting a chance to be part of your day and part of your wrestling experience, because, you know, you watch the episodes and you wait for these podcasts to come out to get the full, you know, scoop, the full breakdown, and it's just part of the process. It doesn't feel complete, or at least for me, until you put the cap on it, which is your routine podcast that you listen to. And we definitely appreciate you guys putting us part of that routine that you have there. But let's go ahead and get into it, shall we? This was a big SmackDown. It aired on January 20th, 2022, from Detroit, Michigan. And the reason why I say it's a big SmackDown is because there were four first-round matchups for this SmackDown tournament to determine the number one contenders for the, one of the Usos championships. I'm guessing the SmackDown Tag Team Championships, but clearly they're not going to be unified any longer, or at least the time of them being unified is coming to a coming to an end, I assume. But anyways, yeah, this episode did air, if I didn't already mention it, in Detroit, Michigan. Shout out to Detroit Kyle, Double J as well, anyone else from the Detroit area who listens to the show. We definitely appreciate you guys and all of your contributions to, you know, I mean, those two in particular have come on the football function. So I definitely appreciate those two guys. But yeah. Anyways, Detroit was actually a pretty good crowd for the show. I will say they were keeping it pretty, you know, the juice levels were up for a good part of the show. Whenever you have a lot of long form wrestling, when you have a lot of long wrestling matches, it's hard sometimes as a crowd to stay amped up for every match. And it seemed like every match had their attention. So you do like to see that. But one thing I will say, this show started off with Sami Zayn being left hanging as the Bloodline was arriving to the arena before the show really even got started. He kind of tried to put his fist out to do a little pound with Roman Reigns, but he kind of just looked at him and walked away, clearly unhappy with Sami Zayn. And they definitely do a little bit more digging into that, and they unpack it a little bit throughout the show. And we'll talk about that as we ourselves unpack this episode of SmackDown. But before we get any further into the show, I did want to kind of take a little bit of a left turn here and give a shout out, not really a shout out, just maybe give some positive thoughts and prayers to Jay Briscoe, RIP, obviously. This is a pretty sad loss for the wrestling community. You've seen, I mean, the Viking Raiders had Dim Boys bands on their arms. Kevin Owens had a J band on his arm. I saw Sami Zayn tweet about him. I saw Seth Rollins tweet about him. So many different wrestlers who came up through the Ring of Honor. That's typically where the connection usually comes from when it comes to Jay Briscoe. Now, I'll be very transparent. I'm not familiar with the Briscoes, that tag team. I don't watch Ring of Honor. The only time I really was, I guess, introduced to them was that WrestleMania weekend when they were in New York, and Enzo and Cass, which I know you don't know who Enzo and Cass are. You're familiar with them, but you don't know. Yeah. Anyways, they did like a work shoot with the Briscoes at a Ring of Honor event where they like jumped the barricade and they were throwing like real punches. Pretty crazy. You might have to look that up. It was actually widely speculated as what the hell's going on, because that same night there was a Hall of Fame speech for the WWE, the Hall of Fame ceremony, and Bret Hart got attacked by a fan, literally in the stage. Yeah, someone like, you know, stormed the ring and tackled Bret Hart. Multiple wrestlers jumped in there, beat the hell out of that dude. Like, he got some stiff shots from FTR, the Revival at the time. One of their tag team members really got a good shot on him. But that was a wild Saturday night, I will say. That was back when WrestleMania was still only one night. I kind of miss those days. But anyways, yeah, RIP Jay Briscoe. I'm not sure if you wanted to say anything or touch on that at all.
Oh, no, I'll just go ahead and, yeah, just give condolences to the family, of course, RIP and everything like that. Yeah, I mean, of course, it's always sad whenever something like that comes across. And, you know, it touches everybody. But, I mean, memories on and everything like that. And, of course, condolences.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. But let's go ahead and get into the SmackDown that happened tonight. And we'll start off with this tournament, the tournament that is going to determine the number one contenders for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. The first round matchups were all handled tonight. Very first one, Viking Raiders versus the Banger Bros. This one was nearly 30 minutes long. And I will say, the Viking Raiders impressed me in this. I was kind of thinking, man, this is a mismatch here. But it was the longest match, the most back and forth match of the entire first round of this tournament. And I thought that there was multiple times where they were in damn good position. I thought maybe Valhalla, if that's how you pronounce it, was going to get involved more than what she did. But it really wasn't, I guess, decided by her. It was truly, or it wasn't like she didn't cost her team the match, I guess you could say. She didn't have, I guess, an influence that determined the outcome is what I'm trying to say. Sheamus did his thing, kind of finishes these guys off with a bro kick. And that's how the Viking Raiders lose. And the Banger Bros advance, like I said, about 27 minutes here. So you knew when you get a long match like this that a couple of these were probably going to get cut a little bit short and they were going to have to sacrifice some time. But what did you think about the first match and the way that they started SmackDown?
Well, on this one, man, I'd say for out of the four matches, this was the best one. You know, of course, I mean, we got the biggest names, I guess you could say, that was in there. But like you were saying, Viking Raiders, they impressed you, but, I mean, yeah, they did, But the person that really impressed me out of them was Ivar, man. That dude, he throws his body around like as if he's like Ricochet in a way, you know, but comes down with a lot more force and everything. And I do believe that spin kick that he had on Drew McIntyre, a little backwards kick on him, dude, that was freaking crazy. And of course, like the way the end of the match had ended, the knee, the claymore, and then the what was it, bro kick? Yeah, and then I was just, gosh, man, it was just a bang, bang, bang. It was just a good ending. Definitely like that one.
Oh yeah, for sure. Up next, we go backstage with Roman Reigns. Sami Zayn is in there, and he pretty much just asks Roman Reigns if they're cool. Like, what's going on? I noticed a little bit of animosity or at least frustration in you earlier when we talked about him being left hanging. And Roman basically just mentions the look that Sami had on his face last week. He says, we all saw the look, and now you're just trying to cover up for it this week. You're trying to make up for it, yada, yada, yada. Sami Zayn tries to explain himself, but Roman Reigns just basically says, you know, I've heard enough. I don't want to do this every single week. Get the hell out of here. It's pretty much paraphrasing what he said. And like I said, we're going to unpack the rest of this throughout the show, but this is kind of where it starts and the seeds are planted, and we kind of get the idea, like, man, what are we going to do this every week? Like, are we going to see Sami Zayn have to, you know, it'd be like a roller coaster of emotions where, damn, is he pissed off? Is he not? Like, am I on good terms with him? Can I relax tonight? We don't really know. It's one of those things. It is hot and cold, this relationship, at least. That's the way that they're presenting it to us, so to speak. What'd you take away from this first little encounter backstage?
Man, I just think that the whole, like, I don't know, like, the personality that Roman Reigns is going through right now is just kind of showing, like a weak side of him, you know? It's kind of like he was saying, like, once you're, like, the top guy, you think everybody's coming after you, you know? And I just believe that, I don't know, I just kind of put it, like, in a mafia, you know, cartel type of situation, you know, like, top person, you know, Scarface, I guess you could say. You know, he wanted to be the best, you know, got all the way up to the top, you know, eventually, like, started doing stuff that what wasn't natural to him, I guess you could say, and then everything just started, like, crumbling beneath his feet. And I kind of just feel like that's, like the way this is going for me, you know, just seeing it, you know, just kind of, like, putting it, like, a little connection to it and everything like that. So, I mean, that's how I kind of feel Roman Reigns is at this point, you know, kind of at that shaky, you know, I don't know what to do point. And Sami Zayn, I mean, I feel like he's kind of, he doesn't know what to do either, you know, a little later down in the show, you know, he's just sitting there by himself, like.
It's all right. That was Beans, my cat. Oh my gosh. Just, you know, hanging out in here watching us. He typically is quiet, but he decided to fall off the couch. He's a little clumsy. He might have, you know, been asleep and just fallen off. But anyways, yeah, you can continue on, John.
Oh, yeah, we're good. I mean, I ain't got nothing more into it. You know, you can jump into the next thing.
All righty, then. We'll move on to something that was actually pretty damn good, I will say. LA Knight had a squash match. The match doesn't really even matter here. I'm sorry I didn't catch the Enhancement Talent's name. I know Michael Cole said it, and they even mentioned his last name twice, but to be completely honest, I was just too lazy to rewind. Like I said, my watching experience isn't what it once was. I don't have the pleasure of being able to fast forward and rewind and pause and start whenever I want. So, yeah, I missed it, and that was definitely on me. But LA Knight gets a pretty easy win here, and then but the whole time, like during this very short match, there was Bray Wyatt mind games being played. Like the lights were kind of going out, his logo was popping up on the screen. It was very like old school Undertaker tactics when he was coming back after being buried alive by Kane in the Ruthless Aggression era. Sorry, let me finish that off there. But Bray Wyatt, that is, he pops up on the Jumbotron, right? And the thing that really got me like going here, because it's been so long since I've seen a true segment of this, was the Firefly Funhouse, man. It felt good. I will say it felt good to get to see the Firefly Funhouse for the first time. And I mean, I really don't know how long, unless I've missed it. Has it been, I mean, because I know that they've kind of like hinted at it, like, but it's been a while since he popped up in a sweater and we saw all the characters there. Last time we saw them, they were like full-sized, you know, people were in the suits and stuff. So it was a little bit confusing at first, but I'm here for it, especially if it means you and I get a chance to see The Fiend in person next Saturday at the Royal Rumble. But yeah, go ahead. What do you got up to this point?
Well, just on this, I mean, this is where it kind of gets to where the, like questions are, because I mean, of course, before this I wasn't watching. So like the Firehouse or what was
Firefly
it?
Funhouse.
Firefly Funhouse. Show some respect. Yeah. A little tongue twister, but yeah, I mean, I'm not too much familiar with it, so I'm kind of just like taking it in first time and everything. So like my review on it at this point is kind of what the heck is going on, you know? At first we have like this what would you say, like
I don't know,
man, I can't think of the yeah, just like the gory, you know, you're thinking like more of like the scary type of situations,
like the coming. Uncle Howdy vibes,
yeah, kind of like what we're all seeing. That, you know, at first, you know, that's what we're seeing. Now we're kind of going to like maybe this is funny, maybe this is, yeah, maybe this is, I don't know what's going on with this, you know. I can't really think, man, are we supposed to take them serious at this point? But yeah, for me to first see this, I'm kind of just getting I'm going down the hill with Bray Wyatt, let me just tell you that. Oh. So I mean, it's kind of too many twists and turns. Let me tell you that for me.
Yeah, it's like the old cyclone ride at the Wonderland amusement park here.
You understand? It's breaking my neck.
Yeah, like that ride, man. If you are over the age of 6, that one is extremely tough on you. Yeah, and yeah. It's meant for, you know, at least it's not meant for adults, but I mean, adults can ride it, you know. And
right.
I'm sure that there's rides like this at your local amusement park, or you know, maybe an amusement park that you went to growing up as a kid, or something along those lines. This one in particular, man, they will yank you and take you around and around, and yeah, it definitely does not feel good.
The way that you said that, to compare that, and then of course, if you lived here and you went to the Wonderland Park and you rode that thing, you would know exactly what he's trying to say here. But yeah, that's how I took it exactly. Yeah.
But I'm with you. I feel that Bray Wyatt does kind of make it hard to, like, it's one of those things, like, sometimes I'm telling a story and I feel myself, like, I know how the story's going and how it's going to end, and I'm confusing myself. Mm-hmm. So I know that the people listening to the story are probably like, what the hell is this guy talking about? And that's kind of how I feel like with Bray Wyatt. Like, he gets a little bit, like, I don't know, a little bit too cryptic, a little bit too puzzly, yeah. Yeah. To where like people are trying to, like, you have to figure it out. Like, you have to think too much whenever you're listening to one of his promos. He does tell LA Knight that he's the one who opened the door and he is now responsible for whatever happens next. Basically hinting that something's going to happen. It's not going to be just a regular Bray Wyatt when we get the pitch black match. We better get the Fiend.
I was going to say, I kind of did like how they, I mean, I don't know if it was part of it, but just like how the lights were like flickering in and out,
yeah,
whenever that match was going on, I kind of did like that.
Yeah, that's kind of those Undertaker tactics, mm-hmm. I was referring to, where he kind of did that, and that's definitely something you'll see, because he was doing that to Kane.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
They led up to a WrestleMania 20 match, just that WrestleMania 20 card, man. You're gonna love it, because I know you've already seen it, but you're going to love it whenever you are familiar with all the storylines.
Go on with it.
But something I know you're familiar with, your favorite tag team, Hit Row versus Los Lotharios, in another first round tournament matchup. B-Fab throws an assist and Hit Row steals the win. What'd you think about this one?
Well, this one, man, I couldn't really take it too serious. I mean, of course, they teamed them up against Los Lotharios, and you haven't seen them in weeks, you know, so you're kind of just thinking, oh. They just gave them the lowest of the tag teams, you know, and just put Hit Row over them. And, you know, I was already thinking Hit Row gets the win here. And, of course, they did on a little cheap little roll-up, you know. Couldn't really get with that. Did not like that ending. And, yeah, just wasn't for this match right here. Probably say the worst of the four.
Hit Row was involved in the worst match? No. No way.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, heck yeah.
I wouldn't have bought that. You wouldn't have been able to sell that to me. But anyways, anything else on this?
Oh, man, it was just crazy, man. Like, at the beginning, whenever they were coming down the ramp, you know, they just reminded me of, like, GTA characters. I was just like, man, what the heck
is that? Some that you would, like, create, or, like, whenever you have your GTA character, you just go to the closet or whatever and, like, deck him out in whatever gear you have in your wallet before you go just randomly start a random fight with a civilian.
Right on the street outside your house.
Nothing like wrecking your car, getting out and going and punching someone right in the face, taking their car and going and wrecking that car. Yeah. GTA, not even doing the missions, just driving around, causing havoc. Nothing like dying and then coming out, like seeing the waste and then coming out of the hospital and immediately just going up going to somebody. Back to- yeah. But anyways, I'm sure you guys can relate to that, or at least, you know, the GTA fans out there. But let's go ahead and continue on here. The obviously, like we mentioned, Hit Row gets the win. They advance. They have to fight the Banger Bros next week, though. So
I don't think they're getting past that one.
I think they might. Their Cinderella story might come to an end. Sorry, John.
Yep.
Up next, Charlotte Flair cuts a promo. And she simply tells Sonya Deville, this is, she kind of gets right down to the chase. She basically says that if she has a problem with her, come down to the ring and say it to her face. Point blank, right to the point. And Sonya comes out and she basically claims that nobody thinks she's worthy, yada, yada, yada. But everybody's wrong. If you just simply pay attention, whenever she comes out and she wrestles, it's clearly the right call that she is the one who's worthy to challenge Charlotte Flair. And Charlotte basically just calls her out for wanting to cut in line in front of everybody and not focusing on the Rumble and earning her shot, which, timeout. How did Charlotte get an opportunity at the Women's Championship? Did she not just randomly show up after not being here for months and at the drop of a hat getting an opportunity and winning?
Just tiptoe back in.
So that was a little bit of pot meat kettle. But anyways, let's see here. They tease that we might get a little bit of a match. Charlotte wants to do it. Sonya's the one that says no, unless the championship is on the line. And before Charlotte has a chance to accept, Adam Pearce comes out. And while he's beginning to speak, Sonya just attacks Charlotte and then runs away. This is some baby back BS, if you look at it like that. You know, a little bit of a cheap shot. But what else is Sonya going to do in the heel role here? What do you think about this? We're clearly going to get this match at, I mean, maybe the Rumble. I don't know. If so, it probably isn't going to get much time given, you know, two Rumbles and all the other matches that they have to, you know, factor into the equation here. I can't see them giving this one much time, if any, at the Rumble. But if they do, I mean, I'd, you know, sign me up for it. But what do you got on this segment here with Charlotte?
Well, on this, man, I'm just glad that it's continuing from – like what it started from, I guess you could say.
I know you're a Sonya fan.
Yeah, Sonya. She, I mean, a little bit. I'm on her. I'm behind her a little bit, but the way that she's just persistent with trying to get that, you know. I mean, I hate that she just straight up, you know, walks out, disrespects the freaking crowd. I mean, of course that's heels. You know, supposed to fucking do that, but she really took a deep dive on that, you know. And I just kind of fell for her. You know, you can see the facial expression in, I mean, her, you know, face whenever she started saying, or the crowd started saying that she sucked, yep. You know. But other than that, man, I mean, I like how their little feud is going. Charlotte, I mean, the music that she got right now is definitely throwing me off at the beginning. I mean, of course, once like the Ric Flair type music kind of starts going off, that's whenever I remember. But other than that, man, yeah, I think this is definitely on the right track, I guess you could say.
No doubt. Let's go ahead and get on to another tournament match, shall we? That's the theme of the night, tournament matches. We get Brawling Brutes versus Imperium here, and Imperium is the team that advances after delivering a brain buster. Let me split that out. It's a tongue twister there. Brain buster to Butch outside of the ring, and then an Imperium bomb to Ridge Holland. 1-2-3. We get the Imperium, who is it? Ludwig Kaiser and Giovanni Vinci advancing to the next round. So they fight the winner of the following match, the match that we'll, you know, we'll talk about here in a little bit. But this one right here, Ridge looked good. Oh, I will say in this match, just me watching him, it looked like they were showcasing him a little bit. Mm-hmm. This is the season where you pay attention to stuff like that. The Rumble coming up, people getting pushed here. They want them to look good, maybe get themselves into some type of program going into WrestleMania season. Ridge is somebody to keep an eye on the SmackDown brand. I think that, you know, he's improving. You know, he caught a lot of flack. He was on the, you know, in the doghouse for a little bit, obviously. It's been a long time since we've seen Big E. But either way, Ridge is, you know, he's doing his part to improve in the ring, and it's definitely starting to show up. I feel like he was a big reason why the Brawling Brutes were in this thing. It's just that, God, what was that? The brain buster to Butch on the outside. That took him out, man. He was done after that.
Oh, yeah, man, that was freaking beautiful. But, yeah, going back to the ridge thing, man, yeah, I do agree that you can see that push being happened. I mean, I do like how Wade Barrett had called him. I mean, of course, Ridge the Fridge, you know, I feel like that's kind of sticking with him now. And, yeah, man, Butch, it felt like you said, I mean, he was kind of minimal. I wanted to see more of, like, that joint manipulation that he does, you know. That's what I kind of like to see from him, yeah. So, I mean, I was kind of let down on that end. I mean, but I would put this at like the second best match of these four.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I like to see it. Moving on, we get the Raw video package. We kind of touched on Raw. Raw 30 video package. We touched on that at the beginning of the show. The theme song, though, the I'm Good by whatever her name is, Bebe Rexha or something like that. I don't know. I probably completely butchered that. Did I? What's her name? I don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah,
I really don't know that.
Something like that. I don't listen to it, so you can't make fun of me, right. But I probably will get made fun of. Anyways, yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of conversation over the internet on who likes that song, who doesn't. Where do you stand on the theme? Do you feel like it suits the Raw? I mean, I feel like you could have, I mean, the song itself I don't have a problem with, but I just think for Raw 30, you could have maybe done a little bit, you
more
know,
like Triple H side type
little
stuff.
Nickelback, maybe.
Okay. I wouldn't be able to put like an exact like
something
artist
like that
to it, but I don't know, man. I felt like Triple H, he always had like the best music for situations, you know, like big moments, I guess you could say. I mean,
Triple
of
H
course,
music.
You know, just seeing it growing up and stuff. I mean, his Game Over, man. That was probably like the, I don't know, probably the song that stuck the most, I guess. I wouldn't know if that's like the exact name of it, but yeah, you get what I'm saying.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Let's see here. What's next? What are we going to talk about? Legado del Fantasma versus the Maximum L Models. What the hell was Mace Masse wearing?
Dude, I can't really say what these dudes are. Like, Mansoor, that little see-through. I'm tired of that. I'm just tired of the whole outfits altogether. You know, I mean, at least be a little bit more, I'd say, because I'm not trying to see it. So what would you say? More covered, I guess you could say, in a way.
Yes. Show some respect.
I mean,
let's cover the...
Some people want to see that, you know, but I mean, it's just not for me, you know?
I mean, their shorts are about as short as Miss Man on Scary Movie 1.
I mean, I guess you could say kind of LeBron type stuff whenever he does those, you know, short
shorts.
Do
you know who I'm
stuff
talking about? The coach?
On what?
Scary Movie Part 1.
No.
Have you ever seen Scary Movie Part 1?
Yes.
So you don't know the coach?
I'd have to remember, yeah.
Yeah, the coach that's a woman.
Okay.
And she like tells Cindy.
Oh,
her,
yeah.
Yeah, that,
yeah, okay,
her short,
yeah,
shorts.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, okay. That's kind of what Masse was wearing, or at least something along those lines in the match tonight.
Yeah,
so if you've seen Scary Movie 1, you know what I'm talking about. If not, just disregard.
I was going to say, you definitely put an image in my head that I didn't want to see.
Sorry about that.
Let me just say that, because I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, think happy thoughts, man. Think happy thoughts. How about we change the subject here and we talk about Legado del Fantasma winning this match. I was a little bit surprised on this one, too. I mean, I guess not really, but because it didn't involve Santos Escobar and it were his lackeys, and I don't know their name right off the top of my head. Sorry, that's WWE's fault for not showcasing them more. I maybe should know the roster a little bit better. We're all at fault here, okay? I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. But either way, they get the win here. So that's a step in the right direction to let us know their names better.
Well, actually, man, their name are Joaquin Wilde and Cruz del Toro.
Okay.
So, I don't know how you didn't catch that. I mean,
okay,
of course,
I'm a stooge, all right? I'm sorry.
I was kind of lost for a second, too, but yeah.
It's playoffs, right? That's my excuse.
Oh, my gosh. You got, what, too many things going on? But anyways, on this, I mean, I can't really say that it was, like I said, this is going to be the third of the four, you know, of course, already putting them in order. But I just couldn't get with it. Whenever I think of LDF, I think of course, Santos Escobar mainly and Zelina Vega. And like you said, I mean, of course, you didn't even remember the names. And that's, of course, they're just like the back people. I mean, of course, you kind of just feel like they're like the... What did Wade Barrett, man? He's starting to hook on to me, but
he's starting to grow on you.
Yeah, he's He called him something, but yeah.
I feel like the Legado del Fantasma power rankings.
The lackeys or something like that. The
lackeys. I mean, it makes sense. That's what Joey and Frankie are in Boy Meets World. But anyways, the power rankings for Legado del Fantasma. Number one, Santos.
Oh, yeah.
Number two, Zelina.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, their theme song.
Oh.
Number four.
His glasses?
Them two tied together. They're tying it. Joaquin and Del Toro. They don't even
get their own slot.
Or did I get the last name wrong?
Joaquin Wilde and Cruz Del Toro.
Del Toro. Okay, I know I got their last name right. Okay, there we go.
I mean, yeah, we're going to have to say it a couple of times to practice. Get your mind wrapped around it. But
whenever they enter the Rumble, I'll know. Okay, and they better not enter the Rumble. That's a perfect example of wasting a Rumble spot right there. When we know damn well they're only in there to get thrown over by somebody.
They definitely stick to the tag team thing that they got going.
Yeah. Let's crawl before we walk. How about that? But anyways, let's go ahead and move on to the main event here, at least what was in the main event slot. It's not a wrestling match. It's a contract signing. Roman Reigns, though, he basically patches things up with Sami Zayn, right? Before this, because of Paul Heyman's guidance as the wise man, he basically just tells him, like, look, I've hated this dude from day one. Like, I've kind of not been on his side. But, hey, we have a very important contract signing with a very specific person who has ties to this guy. Maybe it would just be smart if we just kind of take it easy here. You know, he was advised. And Roman does a chat, or he does just that. He calls Sami Zayn to the locker room, basically tells him to take the Usos, make sure everything's ready to go with the SUVs, make sure that the jet is all fueled up, ready to rock. While Roman Reigns, Solo, and Paul Heyman go to the ring, they handle this contract signing business. What did you think about this, him telling Sami to leave? Did you anticipate something happen? Like whenever he said, hey, you take the Usos, you go, and he was all automatically wiping out, like, I guess, 3/5 of the bloodline. That kind of made me raise my eyebrow in a sense where I was like, okay, why is he doing that? Like, now he is setting himself up to be less defended, where he is a little bit more vulnerable, and that's pretty much what we saw happen there because Kevin Owens crashed the party, right? Mm-hmm. And flipped the script right there. There's no contract signing. Well, he does sign the contract eventually, but not the traditional contract signing that we see in WWE because, I mean, he takes Solo out, gets a little bit of a receipt there for the table spot last week when we went off the air and Solo put him through a table. And then he definitely repays the favor. Pop-up powerbomb to Roman Reigns through the table. Let me just sign this really quickly. Sami Zayn comes out, tosses the clipboard to him, the contract. He bails, goes in the stands, walks up the stairs, whatever. This is how I like shows going off the air. Chaos. Let all the chaos just go crazy. And I feel like in these spots where you don't see Roman Reigns get put on his ass very often, to go through a table like this, right before he's about to defend that championship in front of you and I and about, I don't know, like 60,000 others, however many, in the Alamo Dome, give me a hell yeah.
Hell yeah. But, man, I mean, on this, I mean, it was great. I mean, I can't really say, like you said, you asked, I mean, him sending Sami, I of course, whenever contract signings, like how Xavier Woods asked Adam Pearce that one time, you know how contract signings go? You know, of course there's going to be some chaos in there, you know? So I was thinking, but you got Solo on your side. You got Roman Reigns, you know, you got the head of the table there. You expect him to be able to at least carry his own rather than taking that quick little stunner, you know? Figured you'd push that kick out the way, you know, maybe give a punch in, some type of defense before you take something, you know, but of course having Solo on your side, that's the enforcer right there. So I didn't really think too much of it, but one thing that did catch my eye was Paul Heyman being in that boot. Did you see him whenever he was walking out? You know, he had that little, at first I thought he was just walking like that, you know, a little pimp walk, I guess you could say.
A little pep he does have step. A little walk, you know, already. So it's kind of, he does his little thing.
Yeah, so
you know?
I thought he was just kind of like overplaying it right there. And then I kind of saw that boot and I was like, oh, okay, that's why he's walking like that. So I was kind of curious what the heck that was about. But other than that, man, Kevin Owens, I mean, he came in there, did his thing. I wasn't a fan of it. I mean, like I said, Roman Reigns should have had at least some type of defense, you know. But him to be able to take out Roman Reigns, the Usos and Solo was kind of over the top for me.
All right. You weren't necessarily on board with it. That's all right.
I mean, it was still good. Like I said, I mean, I was cool with it, but it's kind of out the way.
Okay.
Let me say that.
Nothing wrong with that. I did like to see KO. I wish he would just be an official member of SmackDown and not go back and forth. We'll handle that whenever a draft comes up, hopefully after WrestleMania or something. That's like when it makes sense to have the draft right when the new year starts or something along those lines. Let's not make it completely spaced out, but I do feel one coming. I feel a shake coming, especially with you-know-who back in the forefront in the creative department. Vincent Kennedy.
Oh, my gosh. I hope he keeps his foot out that door. That's all I got to say.
Me too. I like what Triple H is doing. I feel like he's got WWE going in a very good direction. But that does do it for young Jonathan and myself here on the SmackDown Review. We felt like this was a not so, I guess.
Not the smoothest.
The highs of the SmackDown episode.
Not the smoothest.
Weren't like, I guess, weren't as high as we've seen in the past, but it was a consistent episode, to say the least. A lot of wrestling, a lot of development with that tag team tournament. So we'll get the second round matchups. We got Rey Mysterio versus who next week?
Karrion Kross.
All right. I wasn't sure if they were going to give us that. I did see the graphic that Rey was going to have a match, but so it is against Karrion.
Also, the two matches for the
semifinals for the tournament. Okay, mm-hmm. So we'll get those next week. Got a nice juicy episode. Like I said, it's going to be one of those rapid fire episode, so prepare yourself for that because John and I got to hit the road, man. We are going to be providing some in-house coverage. Rocky T going to be in attendance. We're going to try to do what we can to link up with him and maybe say what's up, because that's definitely something we want to do. Yeah. And anybody else who's going to the Rumble, if you're there and you are in the Alamo Dome and you want to say what's up to the SmackDown Review team, the Blue Brand Brawlers, you definitely can make that happen. Just hit up John on his Twitter feed, hit up me. One of us will be able to make that happen. So, John, you got anything?
Well, I mean, definitely want to just give a shout-out to all the listeners and, of course, all the Patreon members. And, of course, Discord, you know, I mean, always popping over there. And, yeah, definitely want to give you a shout-out, man, football function and everything like that. We're getting into those deeper brackets of the playoffs. So, yeah, man, it's definitely getting juicy over there.
Great time.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, definitely want to, give you your flowers and everything like that. And, of course, definitely want to just say it's good to be here every week, man. I mean, of course, it's getting kind of where I'm on that little tired level, you know. But, man, pushing it through. And, of course, definitely appreciate you for having me here.
Always, man. Always appreciate it. I also want to thank the listeners. You guys kick ass. You guys are badasses, man. I definitely appreciate you guys.
Hell yeah.
Making us part of your weekly routine. Just letting the SmackDown Review flow through your headphones or your car speakers or your loudspeaker, whatever it is that you're listening to. Who knows? You know, you might have us in a cassette player these days. I don't know. Might be coming through
Bringing it back, huh?
MP3 player.
Bringing it back.
Gosh, iPod.
Man, I remember having one of those little things.
Who knows? You might have little snippets of the episode on little hit clips.
Huh.
Just little portions, little small episodes. But yeah, go check out Football Function. I do appreciate that, if you will. You know, we got some good stuff going. Those are entertaining episodes. They are not PG, I will say that. If there is a little bit of, if you like episodes that are kind of off the wall, no rules, pretty much, that's kind of where I get that out of my system. So John and I can, keep things nice and friendly here and nice and, squeaky clean. At least for the most part. Well, sometimes it's hard with this guy over here. I got to edit out a lot of what.
I was going to say, there's some slips in. I don't even know what to say on this.
I'm just kidding. We like to have fun here on the show. But with all that being said, you guys have a damn good weekend. Be safe. Whatever it is that you're doing, enjoy the football. Hopefully you'll be watching. But if not, just have a damn good weekend. Walk passionately in the direction of your dreams, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEpodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWEpodcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.